College costs a lot these days. Few people disagree with that. And the price tag results in a search for ways to chip a few bucks off the total here and there. Southern Oregon University unveiled a new program a few months ago, something called the Pledge Program. Students pledge to get through SOU in 3 years instead of four, with corresponding savings in the cost of their education. Let's find out how it's supposed to work. Gene Stallman is the Executive Director of Outreach and Engagement at Southern Oregon University and our guest once again on the Jefferson Exchange. Good to see you.
Good morning, Jeff.
Thanks for joining us. So how did the idea develop for the, and it is specifically a Jackson-Josephine County pledge?
That's right. It's specific to those two counties at this point. The idea developed because the legislature, of course, is concerned about college costs and wanted to be responsive to that. They said to us, if we gave you some extra money, how could you do that? And that was a delight to hear, something we hadn't heard in a long time. But the legislature wanted to invest, to partner with the university, and we said, we've got some ideas. Here's one of them.
And so how much money did the legislature sprinkle out for this to get started?
They actually allowed a total of $582,000 that was used for several different initiatives. The Jack Joe is one of them. That's our shortcut for it.
Yeah.
Jackson-Josephine County Pledge is one of those initiatives that are under that umbrella of the $582,000 investment in public education that they gave us.
Does the fact that the campus system has become a bit more decentralized, there's no real, you know, there's no higher education system with chancellor anymore, does that make it more possible for things like this to happen? Do you give it a little more liberality with how you can do some things?
You know, that's a great question. I haven't thought of it in those terms. I mostly have been seeing it in terms of the state hasn't had money to invest in higher education. And after a long period of the recession, they're back to a point where this has become a priority to try to reinvest and recover from all those years of cuts. And so we've scaled back and scaled back for years. We've been running on this sort of skeleton, and now they say, okay, if we could provide you with some extra resources, what could you do with it?
Okay, and the answer was the Jackson-Josephine Pledge. So obviously you need to restrict the number of students. I think that explains why it's just those two counties.
Yes, at this point, right.
And so how many students altogether can be in the Pledge program at any one time?
That's a good question, too, because what we planned for was 50. And recently our director of admissions has raised the question of whether we could increase that a little bit. We still have room within that 50 as the applications are coming in, but we can see between now and fall term increasing demand for it. And so we're trying to create more wiggle room so that we can accept a few more than 50, we hope.
Is it 50 total at any one time or 50 times 3 years?
50 each year for
okay.
of the 3 years.
So you'll have 150 maximum and potentially a few more slopping over.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good to know. So how, though? How does a student get through college in 3 years? I remember that
right. There
was one semester in college I took one extra course. I was carrying five instead of four. It just about killed me.
A lot of caffeine, I'm sure.
you
could get through it. You might think that one possibility would be just to work harder, right? Work harder, work faster. That's not what we're after here. Another possibility might be to say, just do less and make it a less robust degree. But that's also not what we're after. Instead, there's basically three ways that a student will get through in 3 years. It has to be conscious and planned in order to do this. First thing is coming in to the university with some early college credit. That's not required, but it's a huge help in terms of moving forward to offset the second possibility, which is taking some summer classes and doing it kind of a year-round approach. But the third possibility is there are some credit reductions that we're offering to students who are entering the Pledge program. So a student typically in high school is going to come into the university. Many, many students are taking early college credit now. So they may enter with, 12 credits or some even more, 24 credits already complete. And so part of what we've done in this first year of getting organized for the Pledge is to rethink the early college credit that our students are already taking in high schools locally and be more conscientious about planning it and talking with them about how is that going to come into college, looking at how the credits they take are going to be useful and applied in college. So we get them going with early college credit. We bring them in, we give them some credit reductions. And between those things, instead of 180, we're going to try to bring them down towards 135 credits needed when they enter. At that rate, 15 credits a term, that's their pledge to us. they can get through. And if they need a little bit more than that 135, they'll have to take just a little bit of summertime too.
Okay, so definitely some work needs to happen in organizing, thinking about this, and actually taking the courses that are going to get you some credit before you set foot on the Ashland campus.
We're all partnering together. We're all pledging to each other, the legislature with its money, the university with working with the high schools and planning those courses, and then the students in committing and coming through on a very planned, conscientious. You can't really change your major. You need to come in, know what you're doing, and work steadily toward it, and we can get you out of here in 3 years.
We're talking about the Jackson Josephine County Pledge Program coming online at Southern Oregon University with Jean Stallman, who's the Executive Director of Outreach and Engagement. You can join us. You might have questions or comments about how this program works and who's eligible for it. 800-838-3760, the phone number to call for questions and comments here on The Exchange. Email address, if you'd like to send in comments that way, jx@jeffnet.org. So I understand not every academic program is involved. How did you choose the ones that are?
Yeah, right. Well, as soon as we started thinking about this and talking about it, it seemed like a natural that we should choose the majors in order to align with regional employment opportunities, right? So we're looking at Jackson Josephine County students coming into the university. It's a primary audience for us. How can we move them into degrees that make sense for them, that are going to give them a strong opportunity for employment right here in the region if they want? Some students will take the 3-year pledge and use it to accelerate right into graduate program and continue on to who knows what, law, medicine, whatever. But others will want to be employed right here. And so we look around at some of our most popular majors, the majors that really relate to the region. Of course, business came to mind, education. We've got a lot of folks working in the region in those industries. In addition, criminology and criminal justice, people working in the legal industry, whether it's as judges, lawyers, or in corrections. Computer science, huge and growing, as you know, in our own region here. One of our majors, EMDA, the Emerging Media and Digital Arts, which is a relatively new major, incredibly exciting and creative for the students. They're bringing together different elements of digital arts that perhaps you and I may not be as acquainted with. And these people are needed in the workplace. And finally, health and PE. Because we could not work with biology and chemistry in a 3-year accelerated program. But we know that the healthcare industry is huge in our region. And so students with a health and PE major are able to work in many aspects of healthcare, including administration.
All right. So how do you guarantee, though, that the students will get into the courses they need, particularly when they're not quite doubling up, but adding some load certainly while they're on campus?
Actually, you know, it's not an added load, but it is a commitment to 15 credits, which is sort of a standard. A lot of students do take less. They may take 12. That's still full time. But it's a commitment to 15 credits a term every term to get through. And how we guarantee them those classes is that's part of our pledge, our commitment to the students. We are looking at exactly who's coming in, the majors, what is their path in the next 3 years. We're ensuring their ability to access those classes. They get special advising, and that's really critical to this. Special academic advising, which is dedicated to the students in this program so that we are walking them carefully through. No missteps, no, you know, taking classes that don't really help you toward graduation. We're going to move these students along.
In addition to the academic advising, which obviously is needed if you're trying to get somebody to get through a program at this level of acceleration, what kinds of personal stuff? Because there's a chance for some burnout here, obviously. So how do you make sure that everybody's relatively happy and not too overstressed?
Right. And that's where that academic advising comes in. You know, we often think of academic advising as simply, what courses do you need to graduate? But it's so much more. Academic advising is talking with the student, the whole person, and checking in with where they are, how they're progressing, what their academic concerns are, where they're having some struggles, and supporting them in that. So our academic advisors are not just sort of calculators or machines showing, hey, check the boxes, this is what you need to graduate. But the academic advisor assigned to these students is doing a little bit of hand-holding, not too much. These students are in order to come into the program, to be accepted in the program, they have to be ready to work and ready to succeed. That's one of the criteria that we're looking for in them. But given that, as you say, there can be burnout, there can be things that happen over the period of 3 years for young people, and the academic advisor is somebody who is going to be watching out for them.
How good do the grades have to be coming out of high school for students who get into the Pledge program?
Right. They have to have a 3.2 GPA minimum, or we did write a little leeway in that, realizing that students come in all different kinds, all different pathways. It could be a 3.0 GPA if their SAT or ACT score is sufficient, but that 3.2 with letters of reference, that kind of thing, is the requirement.
So Pledge students obviously save money overall, but it looks like you're actually giving some additional savings per credit. Is that what I'm seeing?
Yeah, right. So it's not just that you're getting out in a year sooner, so reducing a year of tuition. In fact, these students are paying far less per credit. So students who are accepted into the Pledge program, they're identified as Pledge students, they actually get tuition reduction, or they can think of it as a scholarship for coming into the Pledge program. So it's 95 per credit instead of 147. That's what this year's tuition is. It's about 35% off. It's a discount all around, because you're not paying for that fourth year. You're paying less for each credit in those 3 years, and then you're getting out and you're getting right to work, so you're earning sooner. This is a way for us to be responsive to those concerns about debt, about time to completion, about the relevance of the degree and being able to put it right to work after graduation. In these ways, we're trying to really be responsive to the concerns of our students and our families in our region.
So they have to be from Jackson, Josephine counties, out of high school in these counties. Obviously, have to have some credits beforehand, and the 3.2 GPA.
And let me clarify, they don't actually have to have the credit beforehand. That is preferred. It's a hallmark of students who are going to be successful. But in some cases, students may not have, they may have been in an AP course but not earned college credit. They may have been in an honors course, same thing, but did not actually secure the college credit in the process. Those kinds of higher level courses, that's where we can go, you know what, we're going to waive some requirements for you to help you accelerate through this program. So they don't have to have college credits on their record. It helps, but it's not absolutely required.
How does the Pledge fit with financial aid? I mean, can pledgers have other grants, other scholarships, any of that stuff?
Absolutely. And that's part of the affordability issue. We're hoping that students will come in who otherwise may not have seen college as possible for them. Very much addressing access and affordability. It's a big themes for the state legislature right now. You may have heard about the Free Community College Initiative. It's a parallel thing for the community colleges. Free community college is a bit of a misnomer. It's not actually free for wide open for audiences, but that sounds real good. And there's an essential truth to that there, which is for some students, they're going to be financially supported who would otherwise not have had those resources. In the same way, we're trying to make the university experience accessible and affordable. In fact, if you were to come into community college and get the free community college situation and then finish your next 2 years at the university, so the 2+2 experience there. So you get your four-year degree starting with 2 years of free community college. As compared to entering the Pledge program is only going to cost about $1,000 more. And for that, you're on the university campus for all 3 years. You're getting out a year earlier, et cetera.
Is there any penalty if somebody flunks out, slows down for whatever reason, can't do it in 3 years, or they end up, you know, everything comes off?
No. Well, they don't lose ground at any rate. But it's true. If they drop out of the Pledge program, if they don't keep up in their progress moving forward, then they would be dropped out of the Pledge program and return at that point to the regular model of university. They will not lose. They won't.
But
they
tuition won't, would go up, for example.
Tuition for credits moving forward would, but they wouldn't be penalized for the credit, the reduction that they had gotten in the first so far until they at that point dropped out.
So, Gina, are the first year or three of the Pledge program considered a pilot? Is it an experiment still?
This is our first Pledge group coming in this fall. I want to say I can't see any reason why we wouldn't continue it, given the response that we've gotten from the community, given how it's coming together, working with the high schools to share the information and the response we get from students. So I expect that it will absolutely continue.
All right. So you still have a few slots left, you said, for the first cohort?
Yes, we do.
All right. Well, best of luck with that. It's an exciting program. The Jackson Josephine Pledge Program gets students through Southern Oregon University in 3 years from Jackson and Josephine counties. Gene Stallman is the Executive Director of Outreach and Engagement at SOU. Thanks so much for joining us again on The Exchange.
Thanks for having me here.